to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Good morning, Columbia CSL, and those catching the spirit with us in this moment. I am very energized to be with you this morning. That song, May You Be Blessed, brought real tears to my eyes. It's an amazing thing when we stop and take in the life we've been given. You know, and the energy I have this morning, it's not just because I get to share from a place of what I'm passionate about, the power of prayer, but because of how much my life has been enriched by its practice and the unbound joy I have gained through watching the ripple effect of just my practice alone. Can you imagine how many others who take to moving into a co-creative relationship with the God of their understanding, confident in the results for their best life, have and are affecting the collective consciousness of humanity and future generations? Just take that in for a moment. Doesn't that just jazz you thinking about it? You know, today we're going to explore what's emotion got to do with it. And yes, I was thinking of Tina Turner. Oh my gosh, and all her moves across that stage, emotion, power, passion, right? And what I want to talk about is the relationship between our emotion and the power of prayer or in prayer. St. Paul's commandment in 1 Thessalonians, he talks about praying unceasingly. And he says to pray without ceasing can be confusing. Now, obvious, it cannot mean we are to be in a head bowed, eyes closed posture all day long. I don't think Paul is referring to nonstop talking, but, you know, rather an attitude of God consciousness and God surrender that we carry with us all the time. Every waking moment is to be lived with an awareness that God, or this greater infinite intelligence, this spiritual knowingness, this omniscience is with us, and that this intelligence is actively involved and engaged in our thoughts and actions. So prayer, you know, what is praying? How many ways can we be present in the connection with God? What are your synonyms for God? Are they beauty, love, joy? I'll take all those three. I don't know. I don't relate to peace as much, although there are times when I'm extremely peaceful, but I feel God more when I see beauty and I feel joy, just like I did in Julie's song. When I was a ministerial student, they asked me, so how do you practice prayer? How do you practice spiritually speaking every day? And I was a little stumped, to be honest, because I wasn't a traditional meditator in those early days. The fact was I couldn't even sit still in those days, let alone give my mind to emptiness, you know, and create peace in my life. What I did was I was a professional clown. I created humor and joy. I gave myself to the flow of the moment. I was spontaneous. I welcomed life in and didn't resist it. I accepted where I was in the moment and I allowed myself to flow with it. I also sang those beautiful resonant tones. I held my notes and I felt the resonance in my body and I connected my mind, emotion, and body. That's what I did for spiritual practice. It wasn't the traditional way. How many ways are there to commune and connect with God? What is your synonym for God? What emotion, what feeling brings that infinite expansion and possibility to your mind and body? Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science Mind Philosophy and the creator of Spiritual Mind Treatment, a very unique and effective scientific prayer. He said, your difficulty is not in trying to discover the place that divine guidance comes from, so much as it is in simple acceptance that it comes from within your own mind. That it is right here. The kingdom of God is within you, and you will have to know that if divine guidance is going to work through you. Now, what I know to be true is that I and many of us hold our spiritual breath for long periods of time, you know, thinking that brief moments with God are sufficient to allow us to not just survive, but thrive. All too often, we do not hear this still small voice because our minds and our attention is held so strongly by the experience of the material side of life, by our indulgence in our responses to our physical senses and our appetites, and by the turbulence of our own emotions thus engendered. We must be watchful to know that we are not being led by a voice that fails to support our experience of God's promise. As spirit is still, we must train our minds, emotions, and bodies to be still also in the silence of our mind in which to commune with God's loving presence. Dr. Holmes also referenced prayers or praying. He said, we pray to center ourselves in divine love and wisdom. We open ourselves to the sacred practice to actively align our mind with spiritual principle and shift limited conscious beliefs to grow a new mental atmosphere supported by feelings of conviction that the spiritual truth is our truth. We pray with this conviction, this feeling, and agreement of our own inherent wholeness to neutralize any subconscious belief patterns that have previously created undesirable conditions. And we must do this in order to create the reality we so deeply desire. Now, many of you, I imagine, like myself, when you began to understand the importance of communing with God, find it difficult to choose the right words, right? And give them feeling. I'm also pretty sure that at some point, you've hunkered down to pray aright, and before you finished, you've prepared the dinner menu for your guests that night. Now, I've come to the conclusion that it's very difficult to get one's whole heart and soul into a prayer when it's not spontaneous. When the feeling of gratitude arises, for instance, try setting yourself to commune then from that place and bring all the needs you have that are wanting the light of truth. And in this way, your prayer carries great affirmative power. In the Science of Mind Philosophy, we learn affirmative prayer or spiritual mind treatment, and we know it to be a key to greater peace and happiness. In this particular way of praying, we pray to center ourselves in that divine love sourced within, right? And we open ourselves, and I share this with you again, to this sacred practice to actively align our mind with spiritual principle. This is important. What also is important and bears repeating is that we pray with conviction and agreement of our own inherent wholeness, not what we are lacking that we bring to the altar of the Supreme Being of God to fix for us. Nothing needs fixing. Nothing even needs healing, although we use that word to share the action and the process of becoming whole in our own realization of who we are. Right? What I know is talking to the Great Spirit, to God, infinite mind, about how we feel gives us the faith and strength, both spiritually and emotionally, to create and lead lives of our choosing. We teach in Science of Mind that thoughts are things, that everything is energy, and that the way to effectively shift unfavorable conditions in our life is to dissolve the thing, the condition, back into the thought, back into our own mind. That the cause back of our experience, right, lives in mind. And so we must go to mind to change the thought in order to change the thing. So we're talking about resolving things into thoughts and feelings, about what we most deeply desire to experience and know. The kingdom is within, the power for change of our own experience, of condition, of who we are, of who we are being, of the life that we take in lies right where we are within us. So I ask you just for a moment to think about your desire, your deepest desire. Just take a silent breath and think about that. And as you're doing that, think about what the qualities of that desire are. In other words, if your desire was already fulfilled, how would you feel? How would you be? You see, for the law to work for you and through you most effectively, you need to know what's behind the thing you say you want. What is it behind it? A feeling, an experience. So why resolve things into thought? Well, first of all, that's where the power is for change. But it's because while we might only see one way for our desire to be created, the universal intelligence sees many more options, right? And resolving things into thoughts and feelings becomes more challenging when we have an emotional attachment to the thing, doesn't it? Meaning a person, a situation, or even our own self-image. Does our emotional attachment spring from associated emotional recall, memory, deep in our subconscious mind? I think so. In affirmative prayer, we are guided to develop a similar impersonalness, a detachment from the thing, the situation or condition within our body, our mind, or our emotions, just as how we believe and teach the law of God operates, without judgment or attachment to outcome, process, time, or space. Just going deeply in faith with conviction of the truth of who we are and allowing and surrendering to the infinite mind to bring about the absolute highest and best affirmative response, right, to our own knowing, correspondingly, energetically, to our own knowing for the best for ourselves. You know, prayer is directly connected with how we handle our emotions too. Our emotions can be either diffused by prayer, but they also can fuel the effectiveness of prayer. Most importantly, our emotions, I believe, must be heeded and not denied. Ultimately, we all have to decide this. Will I let my emotions lead me to God, or lead me away from God? I think it bears importance at this point to say that emotions and feelings are not the same thing. I know I get them confused all the time. I use the words simultaneously, right? But I think it's important to know that emotions, you know, can mask and or reveal the mental cause, our belief, back of our situational experiences. So heed them. You know, a fundamental difference between feelings and emotions is that feelings are experienced consciously, while emotions manifest either consciously or subconsciously. And some people may spend years, even a lifetime, not understanding the depths of their emotions. And while emotions are associated with bodily reactions that are said to be activated through those neurotransmitters and hormones released by the brain, feelings are the conscious experience of emotional reactions. Our feelings are the conscious experience of our emotional reactions. They're sparked by emotions and shaped by personal experiences, beliefs, memories, and thoughts linked to that particular emotion. So strictly speaking, a feeling is a side product of our brain perceiving an emotion and assigning a certain meaning to it. Feelings are influenced by our emotions, but are generated from our mental thoughts. So pay attention to the emotions. They are great informers. All methods of prayer are directly connected with how well we handle our emotions. And the easiest and quickest way, of course, to handle emotions is to harden them, right? It's simply easier to avoid wrestling through them with God. But sometimes we give our emotions also free rein. And that can feel good for the moment, but it also could be a dangerous road when our emotions are leading our lives. So how do you handle your emotions? What role do they play in your life, in your prayer, in informing prayer? How do you handle painful emotions? And here's another one that I thought about. And I ask myself this often, and it's a real key to the effectiveness of prayer. How many of you come to prayer in joy and excitement, right? How many of us begin our prayers with those feelings and not these feelings, right? It can make the difference between effective and non-effective prayer. When we begin with a positive expectancy and attitude of gratitude, this energy is conviction itself and helps to bring power back of our word. Now, we're taught that words have power. So I ask you, when you pray, what is the emotional energy back of your word, right? What's fueling your word? What's giving your word the power in prayer? It is the same in communing with God as it is with yourself, silently or another in daily conversation, actually. You know, when you react emotionally and use words unlike the nature of or attributes of God, right? Or the I am presence, if you prefer that, which affirm our sacred oneness with Creator, and attach it with anything of a lesser vibration, your energetic affirmation imprints into God mind, and the law of its being and will act upon it. So a lesser vibration to me, right, than the I am presence would be a feeling that moves you emotionally or in a, you know, away from love, a feeling that moves you away from love, which is the inspiration of life itself. So if I feel angry, for instance, and I get there, I don't say I am angry. I say I am not anger. I'm not anger. I am not anger. It's just how I'm expressing in that moment. It's something we need to be very careful about because, again, our words have power. Yeah. And if when we pray, which is a whole other topic, actually, but if we can pray and own our emotion that we're feeling honestly whatever it is, then we can flip the treatment, spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer, to contain the feeling we want to experience as the honest motivation behind the thing. Because it's never the car. You know, they teach us in Science of Mind 101 in treatment class. I remember we've advanced far beyond that in our curriculum, of course. But, you know, 25 years ago, it was, oh, you want the red Porsche? Well, why is it a red Porsche? Well, it's a red Porsche because if I'm driving in a red Porsche, this is how I feel. Ah, well, then treat, right? For the feeling experience behind the thing that you want. But how do you get to that feeling experience if you don't unpack the emotional reaction? Right. There you go. So let's look at a couple of examples. You notice the emotion of discomfort, for instance, while you're at a party. You know how that is? Or in those earlier days when you're at those high school dances, I was always the one that sat by the door. I was always the observer just to make sure I was safe, right? So there you are, let's make it really personal here. My stomach was clenched and my breathing is kind of tight and constricted. And then my mind labels that as a feeling of being awkward, you know, because perhaps I don't know many people there. Or maybe I just saw an ex boyfriend. Yet another person with those same emotional body sensations might label the experience as exciting because they get to meet new people or see their ex again. Oh my. So take a different example. Let's take a different example of an emotional threat. Now, this is a little closer to my heart. A bully might respond with the feeling of anger because it makes them feel empowered. Whereas labeling the threat fear would be too vulnerable for them. In contrast, the non-bully might respond with feeling intimidated. And that is why feelings can be so different from person to person in the same scenario. And so for us, we have to develop emotional awareness, an emotional intelligence that can help prevent reactivity and false beliefs. That can help us come back into the present moment by grounding ourselves in our body, assessing our needs, you know, managing that reactivity with a self-agency and engaging in more thoughtful decision-making. You know, emotions are very wise language within us and always, always trying to give us useful information to stay regulated, centered, resilient, and show up as our best self. So emotional, again, to recap, emotional reactions can lead us to the motivating feeling underneath, which in turn can lead us to the mental cause behind it all, behind the condition we're in the middle of experiencing. And once known, the thing can be changed back into the thought, given over, dissolved, dispensed with from whence it came, and a new thought can replace it and be born. You've all heard of a leader of the New Thought movement back in the 50s by the name of Joseph Murphy, I'm sure. You know, there's a story about him making a visit to Lourdes and noticing something rather profound. That the still small voice worked through the unlikely, the seemingly unjust and undeserving, all who were suffering and in pain, based on one principle. That there is only one healing presence, the presence of God in the person, and only one process of healing, which is called faith. Faith in an intelligence that is absolute, without time or space, preference or opinion, just a holy penchant for creating perfection. A holy penchant for creating perfection. And that no matter who was healed at Lourdes, it was because of their belief and feeling conviction. Joseph Murphy wanted to see firsthand why, when the water was obviously polluted with all kinds of virulent organisms and rarely renewed, why it did not contaminate the people. So he then decided to go into the baths and become immersed beside those others, many who were covered in weeping sores. The attendants got a sponge. This is what happened. And they sprayed the water into your eyes and ears while praying unceasingly to the Blessed Virgin while instructing the person to kiss the crucifix. And Joseph ends with this declaration that healing also followed. And that's what the attendants said. When you do this, we declare healing will follow. When you do this, we declare healing will follow. So he determined through sharing this experience that people had a simple blind faith, not based on understanding, but just a blind belief that something would happen. The power is not in the water. The power and the result are in the belief and feeling conviction of those who were miraculously, seemingly cured. To mentally accept something is true. For the living intelligence within us, that which created us knows all the structures, processes, and functions of our entire body and can heal it and restore any organ. Mm-hmm. So belief and emotional conviction together causes anything to be revealed, right? That is not in the light. It causes the realization within our own mind of our own wholeness. Divine urges spirit is speaking through us, and it's the love itself expressing. And I know we often notice it when we're in love and beauty and truth. It's compelling. It's enveloping and it's undeniable. It is forthright and bold and gentle and consistent. It is what it is when it is. This universal intelligence, as we move into prayer, is shaking us open, having its way with us, forcing us forward into the direct experience of what we are. So let's not fight it. Let's not ignore it, deny it, avoid it, and suppress it. But let it win. Why? Because the divine purpose of this human life is to express spirit fully as love and as law. So let's begin right where we are, making the choice to listen to the still small voice and to go into the silence to prepare to hear. And sometimes it will take everything we have to accomplish and sustain our communion with spirit. And sometimes it will take even more. It asks from us to be strong and self-disciplined and a great steadfast desire to change ourselves to become more than we are or have ever been. Our minds and emotions must sustain a degree of sufficient peace and tranquility, or they'll be too turbulent, too loud, too coarse to sense the still small voice that beckons us forward. Yeah, our heart always knows how to do God's work. And if left alone to beat in its natural rhythm, the rhythm of the intelligent law of creation that grows our desires to their fullest expression, mm-hmm, we will be guided. So embrace your emotion. Sit with it, right? And remember, anything that you are attached to, you're giving the power to divine creator to manifest. Right? And emotions are like manure. They feed and enrich the soil, our subjective mind, the law of our being. That part of mind through which the universal subjective mind or universal law works to create the results from our conscious selection. Right. Prayer never leaves us where it finds us. And when the energy of our emotional conviction empowers our words, our prayers outpicture in every expanding, life-affirming way, and we evolve more deeply into the mystical path of oneness. We are blessed to have the freedom to emote, to feel, to contemplate, and choose what it is we want to create. And when we don't know, we are blessed with that within us all that does know. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, ColumbiaCSL.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@ColumbiaCSL.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.